At Arizona State University, we've made online education better, smarter, and more personalized so you can go further in your aspiring field.
I decided to pursue medicine once I realized that ASU did have the online program for biological sciences. You're still required to learn the same curriculum. You're still being tested on the same content that anyone would be tested on in person. The comprehensiveness of the program prepared me so well for medical school.
Explore over 300 programs at asuonline.asu.edu.
Now's your chance to be on Off the Ball.
Not too big, not too small, just the size of Donegal.
Get those WhatsApp voice notes in. 087-9180-180.
Thanks for all the great sports coverage, boys.
The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out #TheToughest for more.
Hi folks, how are you? Thanks for coming back after the break. I hope you had a nice drink there and a bit of a chat. I've got Eamon McGee with me, James O'Donoghue, Owen Mulligan and Paddy Andrews. We're here in the Mount Darrigal Hotel in Letterkenny with thanks to AIB, proud sponsor of the Senior Football Championship. It's been a great show so far. I do want to digress a little bit. I don't know if you heard this clip during the week. Let's have a listen to it.
Why are you calling the boss?
You've asked me this about four times in the last 12 months.
He's your manager of a football club. His contract was with the club, and your contract was with the club. Why are you calling someone boss? I'm serious. Do you call anyone else boss besides your wife? He's not your boss now, is he?
No, boss.
He's not a human being. That's it.
Yeah.
Why are you calling him boss?
The boss. You've all had different managers and, I suppose, different relationships with them. Owen, your relationship with Mickey Hart?
I definitely didn't call him boss. But
before we get to what you're getting to, when he went to Derry, did it change things? Because you were a bit emotional in the aftermath of that. I think we might see it here.
Fucking bastard.
All right. So, you have the mic now. Do you want to give it a...
I've seen it. Look, I couldn't believe it, to be honest with you. I couldn't believe it. I've been with Mickey since I was 15. It was just anti every team. And Derry, once we come across Derry, it was always, look, we have to beat these. I went to school in Derry, so it was extra special for me. I went to St. Pius's in Derry, so I...
And your mum's family are from Derry?
My mother's from Derry, good Glen woman, but...
Why do you think he took the job?
Like a pound. Cash is king, lad.
Fair enough.
Look, whatever it is. Look, there's a...
It's a great thing. Truth hurts.
There's a team there that's probably can challenge for our own glory. He kind of knows that. I don't think he's going to get back to Tyrone anytime soon.
He wants to win Sam again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And at the end of the day, everybody can tweet, everybody can text, whatever, but Tyrone got rid of Mickey. Like, at the end of the day, he was, you know...
Is it true about that? For what I've heard is that he's sore about that and he wants to win all Ireland with Derry to say
fuck you to Tyrone.
Yeah. Absolutely. If somebody gets ready, like you want to, like, and the team comes in, it was no disrespect to Louth. They're never going to challenge for the honours that, you know, the current Derry team at the minute. Mm. You know, even though they're put out by Donegal, they'll still put in a challenge.
Yeah, like, and I mentioned your relationship with him. Like, you went through so much with Mickey Hart. Like, your minor manager, there was under 21 success, there was 03, there's 05, there's 08, there's, I know your retirement. Was it even a retirement? There was just a phone call that never happened. You know, there's so many different emotions that happened over the span of 20 years.
No, it wasn't a retirement. I found out on a Monday morning in Irish News, it was 12 names. And I was one of them.
Nah.
I did.
You didn't speak to Mickey Hart when you were
50. He texted me to say, look.
Check out the Irish News.
He texted me to say, look, we're going to start training here on fucking 1st of December.
You're happy enough to get the bullet, like.
Jesus, man.
lovely Christmas ahead.
I'm only settling down for the cranberry sauce at the December, like, and the pints of stout. You know, Kerry put us out in Killarney.
In 12.
12, yeah. Yes.
They put us out. So he's fuming at that, and he wanted to start training early, and he's texting, right, are you ready to come back? And I says, no, I'm not ready to come back yet. And that was it.
Could you see where he's coming from there?
You probably felt yourself like you had a year or two left in you, but you were going towards the end of your career in a Tyrone jersey.
I was, what, 32, 33? I wouldn't say I'd be starting.
Mm.
But I've always said to myself, I would have probably played on, coming off, impact sub. I think we got the league final that year. Would have been right there, semi-final against Dublin.
Yeah,
13, got the foil. Probably should have beat us. Should have beat us.
And the forwards that come on that day were tripping over themselves. And, you know, there was a foul to be made. And you've seen a clip of me diving earlier on. I probably would have got a foul. Probably would have got a free kick. So, look, at the end of the day, you always feel as if you can do better than probably you're going to. You always have that, you know... Big McGee said, you've always that mentality as a forward, like, you're the fucking best, like, you know,
selfish
and you can do
bastards.
Different things. You know, so...
As the years go on, though, like, you can tell Keane has a problem with Ferguson, and that is very deeply rooted. Does it change? Are you able to look back now and think, look, the times we had together, the good
days? To be honest with you, look, I tried my best to fucking hit McGee hard. I tried... And I probably did. The first couple of years I was dropped, but you can't hate somebody that you have so much respect for, and you have so much respect for the family, and you have so much respect for what they did for you as your career. But he shouldn't have fucking went to Derry, like.
Look at me. I want to come back to Paddy and James, because there's interesting dynamics and relationships there with the various managers he had. Eamon McGee, you had four Donegal managers. Am I right in saying you were dropped by all four?
Dropped.
He's our special guest, Tommy. Go easy, will you? Jesus.
Dropped.
They were four forwards.
Yeah.
So we started off with McInniff, then we got McIver, then we got John Joe Doherty, and we had Jim.
Yeah.
But they all brought you back. That's a good sign.
Resilience.
They all needed a cornerback. I think there was an element of this lad's trying. Like, it wasn't a bad influence in the dressing room or anything. And you know, when I was in, I was training. I would train well.
You just did your own thing.
It just, when the time came to it, I just didn't have the mentality, and you know, it was a long lesson. Flipping 10 years to learn that lesson, and you know, chatting about managers, you know, I still have McInniff's number. You know, you'd ring him at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, yes, Brian. I still know his number off by heart.
Do you actually?
Still know his number off by heart to this day. It's just ingrained, because you know, you'd have no credit at the time, or you'd have the phone would be dead. You'd say, give me your phone there, James. And then you'd just bang in McInniff's number, and he would chat away to you. Like, where are you, man? And I says, oh, I'm at a party here, Brian. Hey, what's the crack? So, you know, this, I have a great relationship with all the managers, and I think...
There isn't like a boss or a gaffer or anything like that, and they're not really that GA anyway. Like.
During Jim's term... There was he definitely with me anyway. I found that he kept that distance, and I remember chatting him over at the book launch in Glenties. We went across the road to, it was in the Highland Hotel, and we went across the road. The Leo was in, it's the first conversation. It's nearly back before he was playing with me. The first time there wasn't that manager player conversation that you were just chatting.
Like, you would have had it with Mickey. Like, Mickey was the boss when you came in, when you were a young lad. Like, when McGuinness was sitting down to meet yourself and Rory Kavanagh, reading Kavanagh's book back, he was like, this is Jimmy Tune sitting in front of me here.
This is the DJ. This is the DJ at the party. And he's sitting here chatting about All-Irelands. And you know, we had to learn that, and he made that separation very, very quickly, and he obviously had learned it, because as a coach and as a manager, you have to learn how the dressing room dynamic, and he did it with Niamh Connell, and he obviously was successful there, and he knew what he wanted. He had a clear vision in his head what he wanted and how he had to go about his business, and you know, he made that separation very, very quickly.
When I was asked, Paul Devlin, Dermy come to ask me to go in the under-20s, like I had that sort of, fuck me, these boys are, no one I would have partied, you know, and had the crack. And we actually went up to, we played Sligo in a friendly, and went up to Bundoran then, into the beach, and we were staying in McAniff's hotel, and talking to McAniff and stuff, whatever. And we let the boys down to, what's the nightclub in
Paris, I think it is.
No, the other one. So we says, look, put the curfew in, 12 o'clock, we'll come down and get you. So me and Dermy and Paul stayed up in the hotel, so we went down and we got the lads, and they had to get, not on short, but they had to go into the Indian, like.
Yeah.
So they started to sing and fucking wreck the place and have the crack, and the guards were called. And I just said to myself, Jesus, this is all going to get back to the county board. Moxie's helping to train the team. It's going to be a fucking uproar, and I was shite myself. So that was all right. Garda come into this. I think the hand sanitizer was broken. The wee Indian went mad. It wasn't mad, but the Garda fucking vans and everything come. It was like just on this wee Indian shop. So it says, Gard met me at the front door. He says, how you doing? And I says, how you going, mister? He says, are you manager of the team? And I says, no, I'm not manager. He says, and you're very familiar with him. And I was like, right. He says, are you Mulligan? And I says, I am. And you're over the team. I says, well, I'm helping out. He says, we're going to need backup here. It's not like all them years ago. So long story short, we got all up to the hotel and everything was alright, but it just shows you, like, your reputation always stays with you.
Paddy, are you still terrified of Pat Gilroy? Scary man.
Ooh. All the coaches, yeah.
And he had your career in his hands at one stage, didn't he?
A couple of times, yeah. Very similar to Abel, like, I was a young friend, Pat Trappy, twice, and the lessons, the penny wasn't dropping. I think a lot of players probably go through this. I was 19, 20 years of age.
Hold on, James O'Donoghue's an angel. He's got no dropping stories.
No, fair enough.
Commitment, Petty.
I don't trust that. But no, like, I missed 11. So I was maybe debut 2008 under Pillar. Muggsy was still playing Tyrone, whopped us by about 15 points in the quarter final.
Did you ever mark him? Cornerback?
No, I didn't get on that day, thank God. Played 2009, obviously, Kerry hammered us, was marking Gooch. 10, we kind of beat you guys, and that was a big, no more so than you were chatting about Eamon earlier on. There comes a point for a team where you need to take that step and kind of beat your conquerors. You need to go and actually just beat one of the big teams and throw. You guys are probably coming down the other side. It was a rise for us. We had the Blues and the Cork. And then 2011, I was living in DCU. Like, I live about fucking 10 minutes from DCU. Like, there was no need for me to be living on campus. But I was, like, on scholarship and having a whale of a time. It was magic.
You were the Wolf back then?
No.
The Wolverine, that was called.
I was back then.
Murphy and the boys would tell me about this character called the Wolverine. Says he
I have a six-month-old son now, so the wolf died about 6.5 months ago. Yeah.
You would see the wolf around 11 o'clock this evening as well, don't worry. He'd be out and about.
But no, it was no more so than you were chatting about. It was, I had success. I was a good player at underage. We played the international rules, the underage team with Murph and a couple of the lads, and got ahead of myself. Thought I was going to be able to just progress into the senior team, and the penny wasn't dropping. And Pat himself had to change the whole thing in Dublin, never mind this fucking young fella. And the penny just wasn't dropping, and ended up played down in a National League game in 2011.
We bet about Crow Park on a Saturday night, and we're down doing a charity thing in the Big Tree. Everyone knows Big Tree down at Crow Park.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same. Every story starts with, you can have 1 point. And we had 1 point, and then about 3 days later, I got home. And I remember we were going training on the Tuesday night, we were playing Galway the following Sunday in Salt Hill, and Alan Brogan rang me at about 3 o'clock on the Tuesday. I was in the absolute horrors, and we had to go out to DCU to train, and he's like, Wolf, you out the last couple of days? Oh, Jesus, Alan, it might have been, yeah, why, what did you hear? And he goes, well, Pat just rang me. I go, Pat who? He goes, your coach, Pat Gilroy. And I was like, are you winding me up? And he goes, yeah, I heard you were out. You're under a bit of pressure. So we went training that night. I didn't score 7 points for playing training that night. And Pat rang me the next day and he goes, what story was you last night? Pat had this great way of like teeing you up. You knew he knew and you weren't going to get out of it. He goes, geez, I was training last night. I go, yeah, it was not bad, Pat. Good session. Looking forward. She's going to be good at the weekend, won't they? He goes, yeah, no, they will be. Yeah. Were you struggling there last night? You thought it was going all right, Pat? No.
Mm.
And he goes, I had about 4 phone calls from 4 different people, including fucking guards. Where were you for the last 3 days? And I was like, what do you say to that? Like, deathly silence. And again, Pat, this thing, he wouldn't say it. Do you try and fill the silence then? And you are scrambling big time. And I don't know what nonsense I came out when he goes, all right, that's no problem. See you on Thursday night. Played the game against Galway. I didn't play. Sub, unused sub. Following week, we played the league final against Cork. This was 11. Dublin were winning. Lost to Cork. 5 or 6 points up. We ended up losing the game. And he blew a gasket. He was like, you lads are never going to do fucking anything. There's a problem with the clear the air meeting afterwards at DCU the next night, having to go off everyone round in a circle, like, came to me and I'm sitting there like, it's a tough loss, Pat. It was, yeah. And he blew the hinges off me, and the next day he rang me and goes, you're gone, I've had enough with you, you're not, go back to your club, I'm not giving you any more chances, you're never going to learn. I was 22, this kind of underage star. 3 months later, Dublin won the All-Ireland for the first time in 16 years. And I was sitting on a couch like this. Didn't have Muggsy beside me. But sitting at home watching Stephen Cluxton kick that point. Lee Kerry was one of the most famous moments in Dublin GAA. And I'd pissed it away. Like, to be honest, the reality was, it was the only way I was going to learn the lessons of it. Eamon, you had it. Muggsy, you had it. I think lots of players have it.
Mm.
And you make the choice, as you said. And to be fair to Pat, he came and met me and the off season, I'd missed out on this, but he goes, right now I still think you're good enough, you have a chance if you're willing to take this seriously. And my mindset from being a kid loving life, and there's nothing wrong with that, you're a student, you're 20, 21 years of age, having the time of your life with all your mates from home and school and going out, living in Dublin, having the crack, that is A1 if you want to do that, but you cannot do that and be an elite sports person and try and reach the pinnacle of our sport that we all love. It can't happen. And the penny dropped for me at that point. You had to take the big setback. I was very fortunate that Pat and Jim gave me the opportunity over the next 10 years to rectify that. But
you did all right, 7 All-Ireland medals later.
I think it's, you know, we're getting caught up on tactics. We're getting caught up in, you know, probably the 5-10%, but in terms of a coach and a manager, it's about getting the best out of players.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Gavin would have done that, you know, even Fitzmaurice, these boys. And we get caught up too much in the science, and basically we can nearly look down their nose at the older managers, at the likes of maybe a Brian McInniff or someone. And it's about forming that relationship with the players and understanding the player. You know, if McGuinness or these boys thought I was a prick about a dressing room, they would say.
Yeah.
They wouldn't make an effort now, but they knew there was something there. And
Connection. I know you've lost your marbles a few times, but I'll back you. And I know you actually really care underneath it all. Mickey Hart had it, and we had it with Pat, changed everything in Dublin. Jim obviously had it for years. Desi has it with those young guys now. Similar relationship to Mickey, what I had with the underage players coming through. Very hard to have success if there isn't that connection with players.
I think we had so
best
many. I think we had so many.
Yeah.
In the fucking Tyrone team, it was fucking mad. to be honest with you.
To be honest with you,
but see when we crossed the white line in the field, you know, that was it. See when we did them extra runs, we dogged each other. It was actually the players, it wasn't the managers telling us, we'll do one more. It was the Hub Qs, the Philly Jordans, myself, Canavan, Lawn, we'll do one more. And see when the players drive it, that's when you know you're in a special place.
Who kept you in the straight and narrow?
What's that?
Who kept you in the straight and narrow? Donny, he looked after you when you came in, did he?
He did, but do you know what happened? Do you know what happened to me was we had that McGuinness moment where he, Eamon Fitzmaurice, came into a young team and just was able to kind of grasp everyone's kind of imagination at the time. It was like the perfect manager, 36, 37 years old, which is so fucking young, coming into a young team where everyone just looked up to him. I remember the first meeting we had was, he had Keane O'Neill with him, who's now the
Galway
strength and conditioning coach. And they put on this presentation and they just had, this is going to be your strength, power, endurance sessions for the year. And they had everything done. And it was like, we're going to have this match all the way up to the All-Ireland final in 13. And it was like, whoa. It was like, you have us. We would do anything for that person then. It was just the way that, the time that he came in. And I suppose, different for me, for the lads, is I came in at that time and I was a young person in the panel. And we had a great team of kind of older fellas who also bought into Eamon at the time. And there was never the question of fucking around or anything. I just think that he kind of got fellas in at that level. And it was just, you're either on or you're gone. And there was, he did throw some fellas off the panel for messing around, and it was, he knew he had the respect of everyone straight away. Yeah. But I think that first meeting, I always say about a new manager, you get one chance to make that first impression. Just that first meeting, you can grab fellas or you can lose them. I think that with Fitzmaurice that time, he just grabbed
for
every young
for fella. Sure. Yeah. We'll get back into that again.
American Log Homes and Cabins is assisting a developer in liquidating several of our kits that have deposits on them for only the balance owed. Most of these will save you more than half of the original cost. An example, our Augusta model, normally $42,450, is being sold for $16,500. Our Biloxi model, normally $36,825, is being sold for $14,500. This includes delivery, excluding California, Oregon, Washington, Arizona, Idaho, Alaska, and Hawaii. But we will pay partial shipping to those states. These kits have not been manufactured, and there's no time limit on delivery. This is a log home kit that includes complete blueprints from foundation details to roof, stack sheets, and a construction manual. Any do-it-yourselfer or builder can erect the logs. Kits do not include any part or roof, windows, or doors. Please call 704-602-3035 for availability. You can also visit our website at www.AmericanLogHomesAndCabins.com.
I'm bad at this. We better talk about the football. I get to talk stories on. There's a big game tomorrow. And actually, somebody in the room tonight is going to win a pair of our Ireland football final tickets, thanks to AIB. We have given everybody a raffle ticket and they're in a little bowl. And we're going to give the bowl to Owen Mulligan at some stage in the next 10 minutes.
So it's Owen, definitely number 12.
Owen will be picking out the number. I'm just going to run you through the two teams for tomorrow. And Eamon, I might start with you on what we can expect here. So the Donegal team that's been named, we've Sean Patton in goals, named to start. I don't know where Patton is or whether he'd be ready to go. But we've got Mark Curran, Brendan McColl, Kieran Moore, Ryan McHugh, Keelan McGonigal, Patter Mogan, McGee and Langan, Shane O'Donnell, Kieran Thompson, Dara Wheel, Patrick McBurty, Oisin Gallen, and Niall O'Donnell named to start. And then the Tyrone team, they've called up some of the 20s that were brilliant during the extended panel, the one that All-Ireland title a couple of weeks ago. They've made a change. They brought in Rory Canavan for Cathal McShane. We might come back to that. Morgan's in goals, Niall Devlin, Padraig Hampsey, Michael McKernan, Ben Cullen, Matthew Donnelly, Kieran McGeary in the half-back line, Kennedy and Kilpatrick midfield, and then Kieran Daly, Michael O'Neill, Shawnee O'Donnell, McCurry, and the two Canavans in the full forward line. This game last month was 6 days after Tyrone went to extra time against Cavan, and a week after Donegal did it against Derry, and again it went to extra time. What are we going to see now tomorrow in Ballybuffet? Ulster champions there to be knocked off their perch?
I think there'll be an element of that. I think there'll be an element of Tyrone having blew their chance. I was saying to Muggsy back the room there. Tyrone are home and host in that game, and they were, I think it was 3 points up.
Yeah.
And they just blew it.
Why? What do you mean? They didn't.
You know, you talk about the best teams, you want to go at that level, you don't give up. And that's why Armagh did it in the Ulster final. They're 4 points up. You know, people say, do you feel sorry for Armagh? I don't at all feel sorry for them.
Really?
Because they're sitting in that situation, 4 points up, you're going down the last 15 minutes, whatever it is, and you don't want. How many chances do they need? And Tyrone,
what do you think they need to do different, teams like that?
You know, you can chat about tactics, say, like, Tyrone went to sit in, you chat about, but again, you get caught up in the tactics of it. It's the mentality that they brought, you know, that playing with fear. I think the Jarry Ogburns thing was a perfect example of, you know, he looked
Agreed.
Across.
Agreed.
He looked through, what do I do? What, like, hold my hand here, instead of just, at that stage, and I don't mean that, that's
was that the mark?
That was the mark, yeah.
They should have taken the shot.
It's not a case if he takes the shot or not, but the fact that he looked across, like, I know for a fact you're not going to fucking...
I totally agree with you. He looked across.
You were doing coverage that day.
He looked across.
The management.
And the management of the gap.
And that, for me, is the mentality. And I think, have Tyrone learned enough in the space of that few weeks to go? Because I think if McGuinness goes, you know, sits in that low block... That this is the buzzword now for the summer. Teams are sitting in low block, mid block, or the high block, and they've in Ulster, Donegal, they've sat in the low block, and they've picked up two danger men. They've left Rian O'Neill relatively free. They've left Doherty free in the Derry game, Matty Donnelly and Morgan free. Good. So they're relying on that, and I think there's a lot to be learned in them three games. So if Tyrone can do, if Donegal, I'd be surprised if they do go the same way. But if they do and Tyrone learn enough, I'd be afraid.
But Muggsy, that style of play, and I have a bee in my bonnet about this, that style of play has a ceiling. You cannot win, and I will go on record and have it a million times, you will not win the All-Ireland playing that way. You cannot win the biggest prizes by playing not to lose. And I agree, I did... Armagh Monaghan last year's All-Ireland quarter final, and Armagh lose on penalties, and it's, oh, they've lost on penalties again. They fucked that game away. They're a way better team than Monaghan, but they played, let's not lose this match. That will get you to a point. I understand you need to have defensive structure and all that good stuff, but if you were going to win the biggest prizes, you need to go and take the game. And Armagh are 4 points up in the Ulster final. They don't score in the last quarter of the match. Mm-hmm. You will not win the biggest games like that. Tyrone, to an extent, and maybe this is a bit of the McGuinness factor as well, they were a better team in that game at Celtic Park. They were. And Tyrone, we don't know what we're going to get from tomorrow. They've been so Jekyll and Hyde.
It's a young team though, Owen, isn't it?
And that's what happens when you get young players. And they have Matty Donnelly's back, and it's magic to see him. Morgan was exceptional that day. Donegal have a plan for him tomorrow. But if you're genuine All-Ireland contenders, I don't think either of these teams are. But you need to play. No. You need to be brave and play. No. Either team tomorrow is going to win.
Paddy is six All-Irelands. I've won. So I think...
There's only one contender for Paddy. It's Dublin. I would say, though, I think there
do
is...
Do you think either of these teams tomorrow will win the All-Ireland? Are you winding me up?
I think that Donegal have a chance.
Oh, you would say that. We're in Donegal, like.
Paddy, no, I genuinely Paddy, do.
You have to go out there. You have to go out there in a few minutes now. So
I genuinely think Donegal have a chance in McGuinness, because I think he can
win the whole thing.
He can change tactics from game to game. I think he has a plan.
Oh, for fuck's sake! Come
I
on.
Think he has a plan. I swear to God, I think he has a plan.
No, I'm just saying. Right, hold on, wee sagging. Right.
Muggsy,
Jim McGuinness. No.
Go.
Jim McGuinness is fucking great. He is. He's brilliant. But there were fucking goalkeeping mistakes from Derry. It wasn't... Don't tell me now that was targeted. Don't tell me now.
I think they targeted
come
the kick-off.
Well, come on,
I think they targeted the kick-off.
They definitely
went after the kick-off. They must have.
You can't target three kick-outs. You can't,
but why has nobody else got a goal after that all year? On
it's stupidity from Derry. The centre half-back has to stay and call the shots.
Derry's structure
He moved
awful.
Up and the goalkeeper's left contesting the ball in midfield. It's crazy.
Going back years, hang on, Paddy. Going back years, they beat you in 14 because of kickoffs.
That guy can't get back. It's crazy. Crazy stuff.
As much like I think the Derry game, like nobody called it. Nobody called it. Nobody called it. It was great. McGuinness was back, but it was Derry's downfall as well.
100%.
Tyrone, I totally agree with Big McGee there. Fucking what he called up the right hand side, did a chance to go four ahead, and Shawnee O'Donnell turns back. The ball was there inside. The ball was inside. Armagh, 4 points up. They protect that lead with 7 minutes to go, 10 minutes to go was crazy. They kept going back side to side, gives the ball to Mackin. He's done for over carrying. That was the start. That's all Donegal need. That's all Donegal need. They're like an old ex girlfriend that never goes away.
What's Donegal? And when you say that now, and you know, I see traits.
They're always there, taxing you.
Your woman's in the crowd here.
Facebook, people.
You know.
And I think Donegal are seeing, you see traits of, you know, Niamh Connell have been the main team, and like that, you just never have them beat. They're always coming back. And you're starting to see traits, more so in this time under McGuinness than our time, because we got a hammering in 13, and I think...
Well,
there was a few hammerings, and there's a trait in that Donegal team where they're just not beat, and I think that's...
Well, I think I say more so... Wrong. Sorry, McGuinness gets up to the innovation and all that stuff. The biggest thing I've seen from this... I don't think Donegal have played that well since that Derry game. I think Tyrone probably should have beat them. Brendan McCall gets a score in last kick of the game to bring the extra time. They're probably down and out. The atmosphere in Clonus, they're 4 points down. You guys were there. Mm-hmm. Niall O'Donnell kicks two monsters, scores everywhere it's on.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
But Donegal kick it. That intangible of there's resilience about Donegal now because they believe. And I know that it's hard to put a price on that. They were gone.
But you boys, how many Leinster medals did you win? Quickly.
Fuck, I don't know.
124.
You have a clue. You don't know, right?
Because that's
the difference is, like, to win an Ulster title. I don't know whether you said the shackles used to come off, you'd get through Ulster, and when you could play Kerry and Crow Park, the shackles would come off and you might play a bit more football. I think there's an element of the Ulster teams, because that title is so coveted, they play a certain style or they play a certain way in Ulster because the games are so tight and close.
Tommy, I completely agree. And that's why I think that on paper, right, Tyrone are probably better than Donegal at the moment, right? But when Donegal when Donegal go and play a team from maybe a Kerry or maybe a Dublin, I think that they're able to adapt that tiny bit better. I agree that in Ulster, it's one tournament. And it's so hard to win that fucking tournament. Like, it's impossible to win it. Once you win one, it's incredible. But then you need to completely change your game almost to come down. Mm. Like you even said in the 20s, suddenly you have to start kicking the ball and be a bit more open. But the one thing that I think about this whole thing is there's two games at the moment going on in the championship. There's the first three quarters. Mm-hmm. That's its own game. And then the final quarter is something completely different.
Crazy, isn't it?
It's something completely different because in that final quarter, you need different personalities. You need fellas who are going to be brave, who are going to take shots, who want to take that risk of a pass, maybe across. Yeah. Even if you look at the All-Ireland final last year, McCaffrey hit that pass across the square. Do you remember with the left leg pass to Basquiat? Like you need, in the last quarter, you need those big plays. So it's fine being... The first three quarters are almost preparation to then go and do the business in the final quarter. The top teams will do that.
Just on James's point, look at Niall O'Donnell in that last quarter where he had the pop.
The ball.
And he just wanted to get on ball. And it was just... Armagh were kind of retreating within themselves.
I loved the moment in that game because I can imagine what Ben Creedy might have said to him. He probably said to him, shoot, when he kicked that point.
And you see afterwards, it was unreal.
Yeah, you see afterwards O'Donnell laughing like, I did you.
That's the mentality you're chatting about. In terms of that, it's grand. You can do, you know, have a pop in the first 5 minutes and from the sideline or outside the boot. Do it in the last 5 minutes. Do you have the balls to do it then? Like
the metal. Yeah. Do Tyrone have the players right now? Because Brian Duher has brought in a lot of young lads. I think 10 lads had their championship debut coming off the bench or starting against Cavan. They're starting to assert themselves. Great news, by the way, today. I know Fergal Logan did an interview on BBC about recovering from a stroke. So just a word on that. Best luck to Fergal on his recovery with that. So that was an awful bit of news for Tyrone earlier this year. So we wish him the very best. I don't know whether we'll see him back in the sideline soon, but it was great to see him doing that interview on BBC. Do Tyrone have the footballers at the minute? Owen?
I think we're rebuilding. I think we're rebuilding at the minute. High-profile players retired, Sludden, McNamee, by the full-back. Them players you can't really replace.
Every week there's a player leaving Tyrone.
There's players already, young Cush dropped out there again. We had him in under-20s, I thought there was nothing like him.
Full-back, isn't he?
No, he's in the forward line. I thought there was nothing like him, to be honest with you. I'd love to see him back. We don't know what reason why he's pulled out, but at the end of the day, I think Tyrone were spoiled for a while. People are saying the crowds are down, supporters are down. That's probably why we don't like getting beat. We've built that sort of aura up now with ourselves that, we want to win every game. But you have to give the management time. There's people calling for Brian Doher's head at the minute.
Really?
It's crazy.
I didn't know that was the conversation.
You hear it coming out of the supporters saying, what's going on there? What's going on? Virgil Logan's gone. What's going on there? You hear them sort of vibes. Give the man time. Look what's happened. Tyrone's won the All-Ireland 2 years ago, under-20s. Now they've won it this time, this year. Then you've Oba CBS as well, when schools. There's serious work going on. We haven't talked about a conveyor belt in a long time, but it sort of is that at the minute. But then players just can't come on and start winning All-Irelands. So they have to get time. But if you're going to ask me, if they have a chance to beat Donegal tomorrow, I definitely think they have.
Okay.
We're talking about clicking. We're talking about clicking. I think the defensive structure's fine, but the forwards are kind of letting themselves down at the minute because they're not putting the ball over the bar. They're not getting into the positions that they can. And probably, as Jamesy said, they're a wee bit feared of losing that ball, losing that possession. So at the minute, I don't think we're there.
The thing I'd say about Tyrone were in the Champions 3 years ago, right? And they still have. They have an exceptional goalkeeper. Hempsey's maybe not as strong as he has been, but I think Michael McCurran has developed into a massive brilliant defender and on the front foot as well for Tyrone. You've got a great midfield in Kendy Kilpatrick. Matty Donnelly is back and he's kind of and the game tomorrow will suit him. It's nice to play in that type of game. He can sit in the pocket. Different story if he's in Crow Park and he's playing a team with six forwards, he won't get away with that, but tomorrow will suit him. And they've got, for me, along with the Cliff, maybe Conor Mannion, the best forward in the game, and Derek Hanifin. And McCurry could come. McCurry's probably one of the loop players we've spoken about. But they have the nucleus of a really good team, and we see inconsistent performances from Tyrone. You literally do. They could go out tomorrow, they could win by 6 points, or they could lose by 10. And that's what you get with young players in a team. They have that core, and that gives them a massive chance. They have know-how with those players. Ryan Doher is a legend, obviously. And they'll have a plan. As much as McGuinness will have one, they'll look and say, we managed that final quarter, or not even quarter, final 5 minutes in Celtic Park last month. We'd have beaten it, and they probably would have won the Ulster title. So Tyrone, the question mark tomorrow is what Tyrone shows up. What energy did Donegal have after winning an unbelievable Ulster championship? Can they go again?
Yeah, okay.
I know they're going to say they can. Proof's going to be in the pudding. But that's the fascinating thing about tomorrow.
Did we underestimate how low a base or how high a base McGuinness, the team was when McGuinness took over? Was the quality in Donegal? Are people surprised that you're Ulster champions
Donegal
again?
Have good players.
I think Donegal have good players. I think Donegal will always produce players. And it's why I'd be still annoyed, the fact that the academy situation is because when you look at them buggers over there, they've won another under 20 title. That's two and... Three or four years.
The standard setters
so
up there, yeah.
Their standards are there. They have the school system. So we obviously need to do something to bring them type of players. They need to come into the right culture. They need to be conditioned. Because that's the name of the game nowadays. And we need to have the academy. So we need to take them through to be ready to play, to compete. Obviously, there's a development stage there when you come into seniors, but they need to be coming in better prepared than what they are now.
Can I get your predictions? And Catherine, would you mind bringing up the raffle tickets for the All-Ireland final draw with thanks to AIB? Eamon, I'm going to start with you. How do you see tomorrow going?
I think there's a debate to be had in terms of do they push up on Donnelly. Donnelly and Morgan had a big influence in Celtic Park. And as I said, I don't think that low block will work.
Okay.
Again. So what does McGuinness do? And I think if he comes out, if he maybe shuts down Donnelly, has a plan for Morgan, I don't think he's going to go man to man, and maybe gets that press a wee bit higher. And obviously, you know, shuts down Darry Canavan, then Donegal should be good enough.
Okay, Donegal.
And the Bell Buffet factor too. I think McGuinness will want to.
Is it a sellout tomorrow? Full house there?
20,000, is it?
Yeah, okay, that'll be great. We're actually covering that game for Off the Ball, so we'll enjoy that. James, can I get yours before I go to Paddy? So we've got one Donegal already.
It is. It's so tight. I think if I was to bat for Tyrone, it would be the fact that they have been able to kind of lick their wounds from the loss and watch Donegal for a couple of games. And, like, I don't think people realise how important that is. Like, if you can actually see a team, take a step back, watch a team and go, we can pick a hole there, we can pick a hole there, we can pick a hole there. Like, Donegal's focus hasn't been on Tyrone, it's been on winning better things. I think Tyrone have been waiting in the long grass. It's going to be two games, as I said. The first three quarters and the final quarter.
Who's going to win it?
I said on the pod, I think it's going to be a draw.
Jesus.
A draw. I think it's going to be a draw, but do you know what? A draw is actually not a bad result for either side in a group stage.
Andrews, quickly, before we give the last word to Owen.
I'm tired of this one.
Who'd you say?
I'm tired of this one.
Don't go for a draw now.
You'll be in Blicks in about an hour's time now, Paddy.
I'm going out with Letterkenny tonight. Donegal are going to win tomorrow.
All right, okay. There you go. And, Mulligan, I'll give you the last word on this.
Tyrone by two.
Tyrone by two. Okay. Fair play to you.
Hang on, Tommy Rooney.
You stole my line. I was going to go for a draw. I thought you were going to go for Donegal and it'll be a draw. I think Donegal are going to do it. I think I watched the homecoming speech that McGuinness gave at like 1 o'clock in the morning after they won the Ulster title. And we spoke about this in the pod where he was speaking to the crowd, but he was also speaking to the team. And when you're looking to get the energy back, and this is the schedule now and the seasons are so different, he was on about Donegal being here and then they can get to here. I don't think they're going to let that slip in such a big game against Tyrone. So look, I think Donegal are going
to
do it.
When I was going out, I used to watch fucking Braveheart all the time.
I wouldn't be quite
it did fuck all for me.
Okay. I think we will leave it at that. We're actually staying in your seats because off air, we're going to do our All-Ireland final draw. Thank you very much for joining us tonight at the Football Pod Live in Letterkenny. We are here with thanks to AIB who sponsor the show and keep us on the road and are proud sponsors of the Senior Football Championship. Thank you to the Mount Argyll Hotel for looking after us tonight. It's been brilliant. Eamon McGee, thank you very much for joining us.
Cheers tonight.
Owen Mulligan, thank you very much for joining us too. Thanks to everyone for coming out as well. Thank you.
The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
As a major research institution, Arizona State University offers the most online bachelor's degree programs, along with world-class faculty and dedicated support. Discover why ASU is ranked number one in innovation for 9 consecutive years. Tap to learn more.